It's time now to look through the window of baseball with our friend Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett and White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, good morning. How are you on this Sunday morning?
Doing well, Marty. How's it going?
Well, pretty good. We've had a couple of interesting things on the show today, but I want to start off with your column today, which I love. Anytime you write baseball, you can write about six pages of it, you know, in the paper. I'll read all of it. And you said, where are the Giants right now? Where are they? Does anyone know where they are right now, exactly where they are?
Well, they're four games out. That's where I would start. And as awful as it's been so far, I'd be worried if yesterday was 11-3 against Kane.
Okay. You
know, or Bumgarner gave up seven runs in the first inning. The pitching has been pretty good, and you know you can talk about this all year. They look terrible. They've been making mistakes at the worst times. They have a thin margin for error. The littlest thing is burning them. Even Buster Posey yesterday in the first inning, guy on third, one out, he whiffs on a 3-2 curveball down in the dirt. I mean, he did come through later, but it's something that seems to be affecting the whole team. It's not good. I wouldn't call it a catastrophe because the standings tell you if you don't know where you are exactly, you look there, and they're four games out.
So what do you do? And I love when you use the lunatic fringe. I think Glenn Dickey was the original lunatic fringe.
I think
fringe,
he was, yeah.
Right?
Or maybe he was just the original lunatic. No, I'm just kidding.
But, you know, you end the story with, all right, let's let the lunatic fringe run everything, and we'll trade Heath Embry and Pill for Giancarlo Stanton.
You hear these things all the time. I mean, you know, John Shea made a strong case today about how badly they need a reliever and all these guys that are out there, which is absolutely the case. Although I really think when Gaudin gets back to the bullpen, you know, Affeldt is not a stiff. Affeldt is a hell of a pitcher, and he's going to bounce back. They've got Lopez, Affeldt, Romo, and they got Casilla going to be coming back before too long. So that to me is not nearly as big of an issue as the rotation for now and for next year. And I just think it would be really wise of them to pick up another starter without, you know, giving up the farm, as they say. That to me is always the biggest issue when you're talking about the Giants, is you've got to have the rotation intact. Now, does that mean Lipscomb goes to the bullpen? You know, it might. It depends on how everybody else is performing. So we'll see.
Yeah, and Vogelsong, part of what is makes this difficult is Ryan Vogelsong.
Yeah.
You don't know when he'll be back. You don't know what he'll be, how effective he'll be when he gets back. If he's the five-inning pitcher before the pinky injury, terrific. If he's the eight earned run average before that, not terrific.
Yeah, and it's going to be like the first week of August before he comes back, from what I've been reading. And meanwhile, you know, the trading deadline is going to be coming up, and they've got to be thinking about a very big decision there without knowing what's going on with him. You know, maybe he comes back great. I mean, his arm certainly should be rested and ready to go. We'll just see how that all works out.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow is July 1st, and you know, we go through a baseball season. It's really like reading a book, and you know, you go through the first 3 months are down. I mean, 3 months are down. We're in July 1st tomorrow. This is now going to get very interesting.
Yeah, it really is, and if I could just throw in an aside, Chris Davis has 30 homers.
Wait, I'm glad you brought that up.
Glad
you brought that up. Where's Raph, Anthony? Is he around? Where'd he go? Because I want to do our trivia question, and don't answer this question, but I got to get Raph here to answer the phones. All right, this is for our dinner at Original Joe's Union in Stockton. You're going to go in the pool today, and we're going to pick the winners tonight on the postgame show for July. And as Bruce said, Chris Davis of the Orioles has 30 home runs in 82 games. Now, this is the 25th time in Major League history this has happened. And my question to you is, who is the last one to get 30 or more homers in the team's first 82 games? And that is the question for you today. 415-478-KNBR. 415-478-KNBR. And I will tell you this. The most homers ever in that amount of games, Bruce, 39.
Mm-hmm.
2001, and you can guess who got it.
Well, I remember Reggie Jackson, I think, had 37 at the All-Star break.
Yep, he's in there. He's one of the 25,
yeah.
But Barry Bonds with 39.
There you go.
The most. But someone since then got over 30, and that's our question. 415-478-KNBR. So, all right, let's get back. Come on, Chris Davis. He's going to hit 60.
Well, I tell you, unless they just don't pitch to him, he's going to at least get 50. I mean, you talk about a beautiful swing. Oh, my God, that's a great lefty swing. So it's just almost casual. And he's gone from a guy, a sort of a Deadpool-obsessed guy who was struggling in the Texas organization. They give up on him. Now he's thinking opposite field, and, you know, he's homering to every conceivable part of the park. And he's just a natural. I can't imagine he wouldn't hit 50. 60, who knows? That's a little different story.
Well, I mean, Brady Anderson, you know, yeah. I think, you know, he hit 50 some odd in that same park. But yeah. The way he hits him over that, you know, I don't think he hits the warehouse. But, boy, that's a nice right field to shoot for.
Yeah, it really is. That's such a great ballpark. You know, it's fair, but it's got its little idiosyncrasies. And, you know, a dead pull hitter lofting those fly balls down the line, it's going to be nice. So what a
triple crown race. And I'll do this this afternoon. I always like to do it on Sunday. But Cabrera and Davis, now Cabrera's got a hefty lead of about 40 points in the batting title.
Which he'll keep, I'm sure.
Yeah, RBIs, Cabrera 81, Davis 79.
Good grief.
And then in home runs, Davis 30, Cabrera 24.
Yeah, well, Cabrera, there's a guy. I'd almost put more money on him to hit 60. I mean, that's just how awesome he is. So that'll be great. You know, the American League is just so loaded right now when you think about Mike Trout and Machado and the great race in the American League coming down and the A's. And a lot of good stuff happening over there.
Oh, there is. And now on the Machado watch, which we started here, he's at 37 doubles right now.
Yeah, chasing Earl Webb from 1931 or whatever.
He had 67 doubles. I think that's...
Yeah, 67. I'd love to see that record go down. It's just too old and too bizarre, and it needs to be updated.
Well, and we don't know who Earl Webb is. You know, it's one thing if Jimmy Fox had the record or Gary Garuda.
Maybe Rogers Hornsby had it.
Right.
You know,
but Earl Webb, yeah. I defy you to tell me anything about his career. And all I can't even do it.
All I know is he was playing for the Red Sox. That's
right.
It.
I can't even do it, I'll tell you that. Or a lefty or right-handed hitter, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, we had a very good segment earlier in the show. Jim Kaplan, who wrote the book about the Marichal Spahn 16-inning game and the greatest game ever. The 50th anniversary is on Tuesday. So I wanted to just throw that out to you and get your thoughts about it.
Well, I mean, first of all, Spahn is 42 at the time, okay? He broke in in 1942, so he's 21 years into the game now. He's 42 years old. His previous start, which, of course, was 3 days prior, 4 days prior, 3 days rest, he shut out the Dodgers, the eventual world champions, 1-0, 1-0 complete game, comes back 3 days later and pitches that game against Marichal at the age of 42. Mm. They give him one extra day coming off of that. They had a doubleheader on what should have been his day. They pitched Denny LeMaster and Bob Shaw. So Spahn comes back. They gave him 4 days rest, and he shuts out Houston. Complete game. The guy pitched 22 complete games that year.
Wow.
And it was the seventh straight year he'd led the league in complete games. So, I mean, I know the game has changed, but not that much. You know, you're still talking about guys throwing a baseball as hard as they can. And here's a 42-year-old guy doing that. I mean, talk about a standard.
Well, and plus the game itself. I mean, Mays hits the home run to win the game.
I mean, that's just so
perfect. And he tells Marichal, don't worry. Marichal says, look, I've had about had him. Mays says, don't worry.
Yeah.
Now, I got to ask Willie if that's true. You know, we see him. We got to ask him if that's really true. But I didn't realize it, and someone brought it up as well who was at the game. A few people called in this morning who were actually there, that Mays threw out Norm Larker at the plate.
Oh, geez, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Another thing about that game, you know how they talk about today how, oh, geez, this is going to be rough because he's pitching out of a stretch, like, say, Matt Cain is pitching out of a stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference, it's like a guy shifting his feet on, as he stands on a street corner. It's nothing. You look at Marichal and Spahn, now those were real windups.
Yeah.
And the difference between a real windup and pitching out of the stretch was really drastic then. I mean, you look at Warren Spahn; it's a beautiful thing, really. It's sort of almost comical to look at it today. But Spahn, I'm sure you could find it somewhere, an old clip of his windup, which is just classic.
Well, that's why I like Paul Byrd. Paul Byrd, believe it or not, he was a guy who, you know, rocked back and put his hands over his head and actually had a windup.
Yeah. The windup is almost extinct, but not quite.
Almost. All right, we got a winner on our trivia contest, and it's Julie Roshnot, Raf, okay, of Morgan Hill. Julie, you're in the pool for our dinner at Original Joe's, and I hope you get in there. Albert Pujols, Bruce, last one to do it, 31 homers in 09. Last one to get over 30 in the first half of the season.
And he looked like a guy who was definitely going to hit 60. You know, things happen when you get into September. The pressure gets a little bit tighter. The pitchers certainly don't want to be the guy giving up that ball. They're a little more careful, and a lot of factors come into it. It's one reason. I mean, we all know about Sosa and McGuire, what was going on then, but Sosa still hit over 60 homers three times.
I know.
I mean, there's got to be more to it than steroids. I mean, that guy, talk about rising to the occasion.
Yeah, and when, you know, I was just thinking as you were saying that McGuire, you know, what, 70? Didn't he hit 70? Bond, 73, and you know, we don't really talk about those records. I mean, I'm excited about Chris Davis 30 in half a season. I'm saying to myself, wow, he can hit 60. And you know something? And even though you point out Sosa, you know, great hitter, there's something about those records. I'm more excited about this kid than I was about McGuire, Sosa, and Bonds.
Yeah, people run away from those records. They don't want to hear about them. They don't want to acknowledge them or believe that they're real. But to me, every number is real, just like, you know, guys winning 40 games around the turn of the 20th century or, you know, Cy Young winning 511 games. You know, so things that just aren't even conceivable, you know, but they're all real to me.
Yeah, and he won the Cy Young Award for doing that.
He did.
He certainly did. That was a great moment for him. Your column also, A's Giants, is sort of a juxtaposition of the two teams right now. You kind of get an idea who the A's are, and we really, at this point, don't really know where the Giants are going.
No, we really don't. They could be headed right down the dumper for all we know. I don't believe that, but they could be.
Yeah.
They're certainly not coming up big when they need to in close games. And, you know, the A's they lost to a great pitcher yesterday. Wainwright's just a hell of a pitcher.
Yeah.
But they'd beaten the Cardinals the day before. They just have, they have what it takes now. It's the second year in a row. I mean, there's nothing fluky about what's going on over there. I like that lineup because top to bottom they can all hit. They're not Miguel Cabrera, they're not Robinson Cano, but they all hit. They can all deliver. They've all delivered at one point or another with huge hits. They're exciting. They've got very good pitching, and they have depth. They have depth everywhere. They've had a bunch of injuries that could cripple other teams, and they always seem to bring up players. Now they've got Sonny Gray and Michael Choice and Addison Russell in the minor leagues, and they just have a real nice package that just says, you know, with all the problems they're having and in the stadium and everything else, I mean, look what they're doing. It's really, really impressive.
Yeah, and they make you pitch, and that's the difference. The Giants are not making other teams pitch right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandoval had four at-bats and saw seven pitches yesterday. You know, if he did that in Oakland, he'd be in Modesto right now. You know.
Well, I mean, the A's are funny. I mean, they do work the count, especially, you know, with nobody on or a couple guys on and a struggling pitcher. But they'll come up with a first pitch hit more often than not. With a lot of their clutch hits and home runs have been delivered on the first pitch or early in the count. And of course, Cespedes is one of those guys. I don't have any problem with either approach. I think it can work both ways. And, you know, Sandoval could just as easily hit, go 5 for 7 on his next such at bat. So, you know, it goes both ways. I hate to see a blanket thrown over a team where everybody has to work the count. I mean, heaven help you if you get into a 2-strike count now. I don't care whether it's 3-2. I mean, you might see a pitch, you know, you might see a splitter, a cutter, or a slider, and you're gone.
Well, they need a game today from Bumgarner. They had one yesterday from Kane. They need another one today.
Well, they do. They need a lot of things. They need a 10-0 win is what they need. They need some laughter.
Yeah.
They need a nice plane flight, you know, with the jokes flowing and, you know, feeling like old times.
Yeah, Bill Lasky was on last night with Vida Blue, and they talked about things that happen in clubhouses when you're going badly. And it's a great story about Frank Robinson, which, you know, it's probably on our website somewhere. But there are different ways for managers to get you out of it, and a lot of it is lighthearted.
Yeah.
To, you know, to just get you to play your game, because these are pros, and you don't want to press. You just want to play your game, basically. So.
Yeah, I remember the first team I ever covered, with not all season, but partially, was the 72 Dodgers, and Frank Robinson was on that team. And in those days, the writers got to travel with the team, you know, on the buses, on the flights, which was just invaluable. really modern day guys don't know what they're missing there. But I remember Robinson constantly coming up with that one line or that one bit of advice, or whether it's just, it may have been a wisecrack or whatever, but he was brilliant at snapping a bleak mood and getting the guys back in a good frame of mind.
Yeah, pretty funny story. We'll tell it later in the post game today. All right, I want to let you go, and how's your foot today?
About the same as yesterday.
All right.
I got another 2-3 weeks before I'm getting down in a 3-point stand.
All right. Well, Puig, soccer kicked one into the stands last night. I don't know if you saw that. That was pretty
yeah.
good.
Yeah, yeah. And bad throw by Kemp, too. Somehow they pulled it out, though. Yeah. Hey, watch out for Hanley Ramirez.
I know. I know. He's
right
playing.
Now.
All right, Bruce, have a good afternoon.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Bruce Jenkins, always a pleasure. All right.